Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, it has been beautiful, hasn't it, to have this spring weather and enables you to get outside a little more, maybe do some exercise, do some early morning walks. Apparently, that's not something that always appeals to me, but I do love getting outside and going for a walk, just not in the early morning. And this weather makes it really fantastic to do that. Of course, you know, if the weather is terrible, you can always go on your treadmill. I do have a treadmill at home. It's kind of covered in boxes and, you know, like most treadmills, or, you know, used as a clothes horse or something. I do have a treadmill, and I don't mind using the treadmill if you've got Netflix or something there with you to encourage you along the way. But I'm not super sporty, and I have been known to be a little uncoordinated on a treadmill. You know, that kind of, you're sort of going forward, but you sort of swerve to the side, and oh, I'm onto the little, you know, oh, half of me's back. And I may have fallen off the back of a treadmill, not at home, in the gym, in the past. Now, I tell you this because I do love, obviously, talking about myself, but because the picture of the treadmill in that pushing forward, otherwise you're going to fall off the back, is exactly what the book of Hebrews talks to us about the Christian life. So as you go through the whole of the book of Hebrews, you have these contrasting themes of push forward or you'll fall off. So we haven't done a lot of the fall off, but he uses language like don't drift away, don't fall away, don't shrink back, don't be led away, don't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, don't turn away, don't fall short. Don't let the pressures of your world pull you off your faith track. But just standing still is not going to do it. You're going to fall off the back. And so he says, strive to enter. Press on to maturity. Run, persevere. Pay careful attention. Fix your eyes. Look forward. Make every effort. Try. Boldly approach. Hold on unswervingly. I like that for the treadmill. Hold firmly to your confidence and draw near. The first Christians faced a lot of pressures, and we've talked about them a little already during this series. But in chapter 10, after the passage that we had read today, we get an insight, a summary into what they were facing, and I'll read some of that to you. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. When we think about the first Christians and we think about the world today, much of that summary can still be applied, albeit at different parts of the world today. Yes, you and I may be publicly exposed to insult, exclusion today. But we are also called to stand side by side with those who are treated in more physically persecuting ways. Suffering alongside those in prison for their faith. accepting the confiscation of your property, that is, having what you have taken from you because you will not worship the emperor or take part in the state religion. How easy then it would be to just keep shifting back against those pressures. And to know that even if you just hold on to your private faith, those pressures are still there. And so the answer, the author says, is to draw near. But to draw near together. So in the passage that we're looking at, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, so this is all that Randall and I have spoken about over the last however many weeks, the anchor up into the heavens, if you were there for that one, or, yeah? The great high priest who allows us to go underneath the curtain. Do you remember that? Yeah. Since all these things are true, since Jesus Christ has paid for our sins once for all time, that something has shifted in ultimate reality on the cross. Do you remember that? Since these things are true, he says, draw near. Or, since these things are true, go to church. Now, here's my confession to you. A couple of years ago, there'll be many confessions. A couple of years ago, I bought a book called Church, Why Bother? And I didn't buy it for someone else. I bought it for me. Church is hard work. Church is hard work because, well, it takes a lot of effort. And if you're in the season of life where you've got youngish kids, it is so busy. You know, you and I are doing all the things that everybody else in Melbourne is doing, and we're going to church. We don't even get a sleep in on a Sunday. It requires much more focus and effort than we're used to with our little snippets and our sound bites and our scrolling. You gotta sit here. It's like uni. And you can't even skip a lecture. It takes a lot of focus, takes a lot of effort. And you're constantly being asked to contribute. I started the service like that. I feel super comfortable about that. It's costly. You know, it doesn't function unless you contribute your time and your energy and your money and everything. And, well, then it's got a really bad reputation. And rightly so in many places. And so when you say you go to church on a Sunday, you're tarred with a serious brush. But also, people. When we come to church, we're not just hanging out with our mates. No, we're not with our besties. We're actually with an amazing, diverse group of people. And here is brilliant because it's so culturally diverse as well as age diverse. I absolutely love it. But of course that's going to mean misunderstandings. Conflict, clashes, weird conversations where you seem to be on two different levels. And then, of course, if you can't kind of decide how you should move forward together, it's tough. How do we do that relational work together that actually out in the world we're not doing very well at all? Church is hard. And yet, we're called to draw near. Draw near is kind of his shorthand in the book of Hebrews for worship. prayer, scripture, singing, all of that. When we come together and we sing songs at the start of a service, we're not simply kind of warming ourselves up, although that's great. We're actually starting to draw near to God. And we're saying, we set aside this time. I am sacrificing this time, being in this space, to enable myself to draw near. But you could do that with fantastic worship music on Spotify or whatever. You could do that through listening to a sermon online, Christian podcasts. You know, why would you do it together? In this springtime, I have been often asking myself, why does the duck cross the road? And literally I'm asking myself that, because you come to a full standstill in the car as they go across. Or, of course, in driving along and you see one that didn't make it and you're like, I hope I don't hit that as well. So frustrating, because they can fly. Why? Why would you walk across the road and risk being hit by a car, which happens often over the river, when you can fly? Very invested in this. I looked it up on the internet, and not in preparation for this sermon, because I was like, why? Well, this is what I discovered. It's actually really hard for a duck to fly. They've got pretty hefty bodies, right? When you think about birds that are doing a lot of flying, they're not the ones that have the little kind of, the cute little, you're with me. I don't know how to describe it except for that, right? And so it takes a lot of effort for a duck to get in the air. And they really have to really be motivated. It's much, much easier for them to walk. And so they would do that at all times, unless they knew there was a danger. And the thing is, they've got a tiny duck brain. And they don't know that crossing the road is dangerous to them. They just know they have to get to the other side. And I really couldn't think of a punchline to that joke. And they walk because it's easier. And if someone does get hit, if one of them does get hit by a car, it can't go back and tell the others to not do it. Even if it did, maybe the brain is so tiny. It's only when they know that there is danger that they do the hard thing. And the writer to the Hebrews would say, yes, in this world, the hard thing is actually the safe thing for you. Going to church, being part of a community that pushes your buttons, that makes you buy books that's called Church, Why Bother? That doesn't have a great rap. That means you don't get to sleep in on a Sunday morning or go to the cafe. It's actually the safest thing to do, despite being the harder. Let me talk to you more about, I didn't take those photos of ducks, but I did take these. This is my garden. And as spring has been approaching, it started to do a few things. This is a calendula, or an English marigold. And it has been, I've had them maybe for a season or two, kind of just kicking around. And so eventually it's spread some seeds. And these are its little babies at the bottom of that same pot. There were some further out a couple of weeks ago, and I saw that they were starting to look a little sad and get a little eaten. So I decided to use my awesome gardening tools, they look a lot cleaner there than they do now, proud of that, to transplant them. So the picture on the left is them when they had just been transplanted, and you can see that they were a bit bigger than those little babies around the side that were from yesterday, but they were starting to be eaten by snails, etc. And so this is them yesterday, after a couple of weeks, and I've given them some worm wee, and I've put snail bait around them. I'm really aware that this sermon is being translated up the back, and I'm not sure how worm wee is going to go. But anyway, fertilizer. I believe that God was showing me something. I took this that first photo, quite some time ago, because I felt that God was saying that this is what Deep Creek Church is about. Deep Creek Church knows that God is at work in the world everywhere. Deep Creek Church knows that as we bloom, our seeds will go out and tiny little baby Christians or tiny little seeds of faith growing will just start to be all around the place. But Deep Creek Church knows that for those seedlings to grow and to become what they are intended to be without being eaten up by snails or sitting in kind of pretty dodgy dirt, they need to be in a place where they're going to be nourished, nurtured, and protected. And through our gatherings, whether it be on a Sunday or any time during the week, or in people's homes, on the phone, just connecting with each other, this is what we are doing. This is church, why bother? This is why bother inviting. This is why bother saying, I want people to come here. It's okay to desire for us to grow. Because this, protecting, nurturing, nourishing, so that the work that God is doing in the world grows to its full potential. And so when we come and we work out ways of connecting with others and how we can shift so that we could maybe invite new people or find those people that God has already planted those seeds in and say, come, be part of this. This is what we do. We teach, we pray, we learn together, we nourish each other, and we pray against the attacks of the evil one. We work together against those pressures that push us back, and we flourish together. And in the future, maybe we'll see people planted out into the garden. Once they're pretty strong and a few little nibbles ain't going to make too much difference. And they'll be gathered together and they'll be making church out in the world. We come together because it's actually the safest thing to do. We come together to encourage, to nourish, to nurture, to protect, and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. I started the service by saying that we bless. That's what we're here for. And when we gather, we actually encourage each other and equip each other to do that. But there's something else. Without gathering, we actually miss being fed by a taste of heaven. God intended for us to gather together diverse, all kinds of cultures, backgrounds, even kind of theological approaches. God intended us to gather together because human beings were meant for community and they were designed to be together worshiping God at the end. knowing his presence and the full presence of each other. Well, Facebook, that wonderful provider of sermon illustrations, has done it again, and I have a video that I want to share with you. It's not always easy to think, I want to bring people in because I want to nourish and nurture and protect. Would you like to come to church so that we can nourish and nurture and protect you? But we can say, would you like to come to church because you're feeling disconnected? Because you're feeling isolated? Because actually you're not actually experiencing all that it means to be a human made in the image of God? Because you want to gather together in community that you were made for? Well, I found this video really helpful, and I think it's another picture of what we're doing here. I have no idea what that was advertising, really. But, man, hashtag eat together could be a great description of what we're about. We gather and we sit, and sometimes it's just two of us, right? What's going to happen? And then someone else joins us, and someone else joins us. And the kids, right, they go, I like this, Mum, you have to come. And then someone catches the DNA of it and they go out and they invite the person who's missing. And we gather around the Lord's table. We're fed by God's word. We go to each other's homes. We go out. Today we've got trading table. I'd seen this video, obviously, and I'm seeing them set up. They're like bringing the tables in and the tablecloths are going out. I'm like, oh, it's exactly the same. So, do not give up meeting together, the Bible says, as some are in the habit of doing. But encourage one another. Draw near together. And all the more as you see the day of Jesus' return approaching. Amen.